Today's Shir is Masech Techulun Daf Kuf Yud Beis. We will begin Beizer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amar Beis. Three lines from the bottom. Amachiskiya Mishim Abaya. Hilchasa Dalochi is Dagim Shal Bakara. Dalochi that we discussed extensively at the end of our previous Shir. When fish were put on a plate, Dalochi is Mutalach Lamakutach. They may be eaten together with dairy. Even though we're talking about a dish that had in a blia of had absorption of meat. And the reason is because there is a situation of not by not. The meat is a blia in the plate, which the fish is, and then there's a blia in the fish. It's a double blia. But the Rishonim make a very, very important point in discussing the halacha of not by not. And they say that the case that the Gemara says that we could be lenient with not by not is when we're talking about heter. In other words, we started with a fleshiger plate. The fleshiger plate, there's nothing wrong with. And then when we have that fleshiger plate, we now put fish on it. There's nothing wrong with doing that either. And that's now whatever blia is in the fish, as we discussed, is a very weak blia, because as we're saying, it's called a nat banat. That's why the halacha is, if that comes in contact with dairy, then we could be lenient. However, if it's a nat banat, the iser, let's say you put fish on a plate that was used for something that's not kosher. So even though not a fish, when they absorb that, and now we're going to put the fish together with something else, it's still a nat bar nat, but it's a nat bar nat that the Shulchan Aruch calls a nat bar nat di surah. And even though the Gemara here is lenient by nat bar nat, it will only be lenient by a nat bar nat da teira, but not by a nat bar nat di surah. Furthermore, when we speak about nat bar nat, the smack says, the fact that the Gemara keeps on using the word dogim sha'olu b'kara, it means to say that b'di'evit, if this happened, we have room for leniency. But we can't rely on that l'chat chila. The Ramah seems to even be stricter with this shaila. But certainly we can't rely and relying not by not l'chatchila to say that we don't have to be concerned. It's only if it happened, there's room for concern. Next case. If you cut your radish with a knife that was used for meat, the halacha is aslach l'b'kitroich. You can't use that knife, you can't eat that radish with dairy. And there's two reasons that the Rishonim give for this halacha. One is that we're concerned that there's shamnunis, that there's some grease of the meat still on this knife that went on to the tznayin, and now you're going to have real meat residue left on this radish that you're eating with dairy. Others explain that since the knife was used for fleishiks, so the knife got a blia of fleishiks, and now when you're going to cut with that knife radish, the radish is going to absorb that blia, and at that point, since the radish will absorb that blia, which is a blia of meat, of fleishiks, you can't eat it with dairy. And therefore, says the Gemara, for Hanimili, when was this halacha said? Betznoin, when you use this knife for cutting radishes. The Agav Burkhorfe, because the radish is sharp, that's why it's quicker to absorb. Avalkishus, if you used it to cut cucumbers, so you don't have a food that is that sharp, says the Gemara, Dalach is gar lepe piski, take off a little, scrape off the knife, vachal, and then you could eat it. So again, some suggest that scrape the knife. Some suggest grape, scrape the cucumber, and therefore, once you've done that, the cucumber is mutter. Even says Tosfos, when you're cutting a radish, and as we've discussed and will still discuss, let's say it was cut with a knife that's ena ben yoima, that wasn't used in the last 24 hours. But as we said, because the radish is sharp and because there are belias in the knife, Taisa says that the halacha takes a strict attitude. The Shulchan Aruch says that when you have this situation with the knife that you cut the radish with, you should taste the radish. And if the radish has no detectable meat flavor, we could eat it with milk. The Rama doesn't make any comment. So it's seen that the Rama in this halacha is agreeing with the Shulchan Aruch, which is interesting because we've quoted in our shiurim. The Rama's opinion is that we don't rely on a kfela to taste and rely on the flavor. Says the Shach that the Rama only means that we can't rely, we spoke about this previously, on the testimony of an Akum taster. Here, we could have Yisrael taste this radish. And therefore, says the Shach, in explaining the opinion of the Rama, the Rama would agree that if a Jew tastes it and he doesn't feel any meat in the radish, it could be lenient. But as we said, the Rama in the Taras Chattis himself says that people today are not expert in tasting. And because people today are not expert in tasting, his opinion is that even the Rama says there, we can never rely on a taster, even if he's Jewish. The Shach, in order to reconcile these opinions, says that the Rama indeed holds we can't rely on any tasting, bizman hazeh, and that means even that's l'chatchila. But with the Evid, the Rama will agree, where we're speaking about a Jew and a Jew doing the tasting, and it's a situation of B'dievid, we have room for leniency. Says the Gemara, again, we have the knife that was used for meat, and we cut with the knife kilcha de lifta, pieces of turnip, shari. Because since the turnip is sweet, it's not sharp, so therefore we have room to be lenient. However, if we cut with this knife silky, if we cut with this knife beets, asiri, then we would not be allowed to eat those beets with a kutak, with a dairy dish, because, again, it's something that's sharp. Be possible to lift up. If we also cut turnips and beets, shapadami, we have a right to be lenient. So here, Paiskim also debate, what does this mean that if we cut turnips, then we could use it to cut beets? Is it that mean, some say, the Shach's opinion is, that using this type of approach is only acceptable for the Evid, but we can't rely on this approach, l'chatchila. The Pri Chadosh says that we can rely on this approach, l'chatchila, and the goes on to say, even though when we spoke at the beginning of a shir on relying on nat banat, and we said that it seems that the Paiskim, going back to Rishonim, don't allow us to rely on nat banat l'chatchila, cutting with such a knife turnip, we could rely with this. Another question that I saw that the Beis Yosef speaks about, the Gemara says, if you want to be able to use it for beets, first cut turnip. What does it mean, they discuss, when it says first cut turnip? Does it mean cut a piece of turnip first, and by cutting a piece of turnip, you solved all your issues? Or does it mean that before every time you want to cut beet, first cut a turnip first? Beis Yosef quotes a machlokes in this question. Continues the Gemara, by my name of Dimi Rav Nachman, Malanu Chikad de Milcha Gab Kad de Kamcha. May one leave a plate with salt next to the plate of the kutav. Do we have to be concerned that some kutach is going to fall into your salt inadvertently, and now your salt became dairy, and now you're going to use that salt to salt something with meat? Amalei, to which he said, Osir. We have to be concerned that your salt is going to become milchig. Has the Gemara, what about the chalamai? If you have vinegar on the table, can you leave kutach next to the vinegar? And again, do we need to be concerned that some of your vinegar is going to fall into the kutach? Amalei, he said, shari, that's mutter. So he immediately asks, Omayishna, why are we treating the vinegar differently? Why are we treating the vinegar differently than the salt? Why is there any reason to have this kamina? And I saw that the Maram Shif explains the Gemara that after Rav Nachman told Rav Dimi these two piskei halacha, it was obvious that there's a difference. What was his question? So he says that the question is that I know there's a difference, but what is the basis of the difference? The Lev Aryeh says that the Gemara means to say, his question was, since we see that daloch is machmer by salt, and then daloch is makel by vinegar, doesn't mean that daloch is only makel by vinegar b'dieved, or is it makel even l'chatchila? To which he said, l'chitecha l'kur d'melcha. This was an expression when they wanted to say, I'm not really interested, or I'm not really impressed with your question, they would say, go eat some salt. But I saw that there are mefarshim that explain what is pshat in this statement of l'chei uchel kurcha de milcham. So the Noida Behuda's son, and the Agdomet Rishas Noida Behuda, says that if we do a chemical analysis on a person, we'll see that a person is made up of water and fat and salt, sodium. And he says that the people with a higher level of sodium are smarter people. So he said, increase, what the Gemara means to say is, increase your level of sodium. By increasing your level of sodium, you will be smarter and be able to answer the question. Up to the point that I saw that the Gemara in Masechta Hirius teaches us that eating olives is kosher l'shicha. It makes you forget your learning. Yet we find that many people eat olives. And why don't they have to be concerned that they will forget that they're learning? So I saw that the Yaivitz already suggests that typically olives are very salted. So even if, as the Gemara says, somebody who eats the olives will forget his learning, but if you eat with olives with a high level of salt, then you have much less to be with a high level of salt. That sodium content will make up for any memory loss. My Tama, so what is the reason that we differentiate between salt and vinegar? We're putting salt and vinegar next to the kutach. Answer the Mahai Issa Sur B'nai. When you put the kutach into the salt, it's independently recognizable. And therefore, since it's independently recognizable, it doesn't become bottle. Hai, whereas when you put vinegar, less a Sur B'nai, it gets absorbed into the salt. And once it gets absorbed into the vinegar, it'll be bottled, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that it became milchiks. Says the Gemara, Ha'uba Guzla. There was a story with a bird, the Nafl Kada de Kamcha, that fell into a pitcher full of kutach. The meat was cold, and it wasn't cooked or roasted. And the question was, do we need to be concerned that this meat absorbed some of the dairy? Shai, says the Gemara, Shai, Rav Chinah Barei Derava, be Prashnuna. Rav Chinah Barei Derava from the city of Prashnuna said it may be eaten. Omara Rava, on which Rava commented, Ma chacham l'mishu kai gavna, who's so smart to say that in such a case we have reason to be lenient? Ilaf, the only person that could be able to do so is Rav Chanina b'Rei de Rava in Pirshanei, because he says, Ki am shmul, meliach k'rei k'seach, that something salty is something that's like cooked, and therefore we should be concerned that your meat, your goizler, got cooked in the kutach. It's only a case where it's very salty. That's not really edible because of the salt. Ava high kutach, when we speak about the kutach, even though it's salty, it's not that salty. It's salty enough that you could eat it. Machmas milchai. Therefore, there is no issue of there is no issue with this kutach. The Shalosh Tshuvot Samach Tzadik writes that one should be careful not to put, we know we're not allowed to make dairy bread, we should even put in a little amount of dairy. Because even though the milk is bottled b'shishim, that's called bittul issur l'chatchila. Because look at our Gemara. Our Gemara says we could put, we have a situation where the chaymetz falls into the kutach, the aloch is going to be bottled. And even then, says the Tzemach Tzedek, we're only lenient because we're putting one next to each other. It's not that we're putting it into each other. But to deliberately put kutach into chaymetz, even though it's going to become bottle, would be also because of bitl, would be also because of bitl asl chatchila. Continues the Gemara. This that we said that if the meat fell into the kutach, we don't have to be concerned. Hani mili chai. If the meat is raw, avatzli. If the meat is roasted by klipa. Furthermore, v'is by pili. If it has cracks, so there's room for the kutach to fall in between the cracks, then it's kulei aser. Furthermore, mitavel b'tavlin. If it's so, if it's spiced, so when something is spiced, it's easier to get absorbed. And therefore, it's asur. Here too, I saw Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi says that every one of these issues independently is enough to be concerned. If it's roasted, if it has cracks, if it has spice. But there are Rishonim that say that it has to, that just being roasted enough is not a reason. For example, the Machaber quotes the Rashba, that just because it's roasted, it's not enough to be concerned. It only has to be roasted and hot. The Ramah seems to hold that even if it's cold, once it's roasted, we have to be concerned. And the same thing when we speak about the cracks and the cracks and the spices. Some Rishonim say that when it has cracks, that alone is not enough of an issue. It has to be a combination of the cracks and the spice. There are others that say that no, cracks alone is enough of an issue, and spice is enough of an issue. And some want to add, the shach wants to add the roasting. That if it's roasted and it has cracks, then we have to be machmer. But if it's not roasted and has cracks, we don't have to be so machmer. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Kika shechata chalei basar. If you have a piece of bread that you cut meat out over it after it was roasted, osl achol, because there's juice that comes out of the meat, and there's meat, there's blood in that juice that gets absorbed into the bread. The hani mili, but says the Gemara, da'asmech, only when the meat was red. The hani mili, the avrei, and also when the juice penetrated the bread all throughout, from the beginning to from the one side to the other. The hani mili, and furthermore, the asmeche, when that juice has some thickness. Ava klishte, if it's very watery, less lumbar. Says the Gemara Shmuel, when Shmuel had bread, that on top of that bread they cut meat after it was roasted, Sharle l'kalbe, says the Gemara, he would throw it to his dog. He wouldn't eat it himself. Why, asked the Or Sameach, did he throw it to the dog? Why didn't he just sell it? So our Sameach says, of course, there's a halacham that we're not allowed to do schayru b'davar aser. We're not allowed to do business with something that's aser. If Shmuel is holding, as we're going to see in the Gemara now, that this bread is aser, he has no right to sell it. He only has a right to give it to his dog. And therefore, says our Sameach, if it wasn't something that he did deliberately, it just happened. So the halacha is that even though schayru b'davar aser is aser, you're not allowed to do business with something that's aser, but nizdam the law, if it just happens, then it's mutter. Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Yavle L'Shamei. Rav Huna would give it to his assistant, but he wouldn't eat it himself. So ask the Gemara the obvious question, Manavshach. Ishari, if this is permissible to be eaten, so then L'Kuli Al-Mishar, it's permissible for everybody. The Yasser, and if it's not allowed to be eaten, L'Kuli Al-Mishar, so why was he taking this approach? I won't eat it, I'll give it to my Shamei. Answer, the Gemara Shani Rav Huna didn't eat it for a different reason. That Nine Date, he was a very, very sensitive person, and he didn't want to eat this kind of bread. Rava, and therefore says the Gemara, Rava Achalei, Rava had no problem of eating them, and says the Gemara, Rava, the Karalei, and we call this juice that comes out of the meat, Chamabasar, at the wine, meat wine. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to eat blood, but that's not blood. Amram Nachum Amishmul, Emanichin Keli Tachs Basar. We're not allowed to put a vessel on the meat as we're roasting it to collect the fat. Achyichla Kamari Admushaba, until the fat is not red at all. Ask the Gemara, Menayadin. So at what point do we know that there's no residue of blood? Says the Gemara, Mazuch Mishmed Rapapa Amma, Bishtalam Rasai. That at the point that the meat starts smoking from the roasting, that's a proof that all the blood has been expelled. Maskal Rashi, ask Ravashi Vidima Tata Mata, Eloha Mata. Maybe the part of the bottom of the piece of bread, of meat, all the blood is gone. And that's why it's smoking. But the upper part of the piece of meat is still full of blood. And therefore what's coming out is real blood. So how can we be lenient? And therefore says the Gemara, Elam Ravashi, less late to Kante. I don't know what to do, how to catch this fat. El Mishdabay Tati Galila Melchas. What I'm suggesting is put into the keli that you're catching the juice with two pieces of salt. Take two pieces of salt, one put it on the meat, and one put it in the keli. And what the salt does is it absorb all the blood. So therefore, what it's going to do, the salt particle at the bottom of the keli, it will absorb all the blood to the bottom of the vessel, and the oil that will be on top won't have any blood in it. Meshafye, and says the Gemara, after you have this combination of oil on the top and blood on the bottom, pour out the oil from this vessel. But the Gemara says pour it out slowly, carefully, to make sure that the blood doesn't get mixed up with the oil, and you'll only eat the oil and not the blood. Amalei Rav Acha Breider, Rav Akel Rav Ashi, Omiyam Shmuel Hachi, are we not concerned for the blood that's coming out? Vam Shmuel, Kikish Shenachtel HaBasar, Shmuel said that if you cut meat over after roasting over a piece of meat, aslachla, we're concerned that there's some blood left over. Why is he being lenient here? Answers the Gemara, there it's different. Because Shani Hosam, in that case, we're cutting the meat. And in a case where we're cutting the meat, there's a new consideration. And that is duchka de sakina pullet, pressing the knife on the meat causes blood to come out. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, dogim va'afis, fish and poultry, shemolchem zem zeh, that we salt them together, asurin, because we're afraid that the fish absorb from the poultry. So, of course, ask the Mefarshim, we learned that the halacha is you're not allowed to cook fish and meat, fish and poultry together. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, says that it's a sakana. And the Gemara says that this halach is not only by beef, it's by poultry as well. So why are we not concerned here? To which the Rishonim, this Veheter, other Rishonim already suggest that it's, since we're not cooking it together, it's only salting it together, and since we're only salting it together, that's why we're not that concerned. Says the Gemara, Hey Chidami. So ask the Gemara, let's try to evaluate what exactly we're talking about here. If we're talking about a keli that we're doing this in that doesn't have any holes on the bottom, then the halacha ought to be, ask the Gemara, afilo oifas oifas nami siri. Even birds with other birds should be usher, because we should be concerned that the blood that goes out from one bird will get absorbed into the other blood. Maybe clean nakav, if there are holes on the bottom of this keli, then the halacha should be afilo dog and oifas nami shari. They should be permissible when we have fish and birds together, because we have no reason to be concerned, because whatever is coming out is just going to go out from the bottom. And says the Gemara, Loila b'klimanukav. Indeed, we're talking about a keli that has holes on the bottom. So the question again becomes, if there's holes on the bottom, why need we be concerned? Says the Gemara, here it's different. Dagim shim derfai karmayu. Because the fish has a very delicate membrane, they expel all their blood. Oifis are harder to meet them, and their blood doesn't go out so quickly. And therefore, basar naichi dagim, after the fish finish expelling all of the blood, plate the oifis, the birds are still expelling blood. And now, because the fish are not expelling blood anymore. The reason they're not expelling blood anymore, because they finish quicker in their expulsion of all of the blood. And the halacha throughout Shas is that once something finishes expelling, it become able to absorb. And since now that's what happened, that's why the halacha is that we have to be concerned that the fish will absorb the blood of the oif. The halacha is that what would be the halacha if this happened, where you need to be concerned where the fish absorbed the dam of the blood of the bird? Can you now salt it again and be makel? Some say that the halacha is that if you'll salt this again, then we'll be able to get rid of any blood. Others suggest that once they absorb blood, which isn't its natural blood, we have to be makel. We have to be machmer. There's also a discussion in the Paiskim, is this halacha if you have very salty fish and not salty birds, or vice versa? Or since our Gemara doesn't make any of these type of nafkaminas, the halacha will be the same under all circumstances, that you're not allowed to salt them together for the concerns we just learned.